All right, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, that's like 30% of you. Praise the Lord. You know, we've made that point here is when the Bible says, when you're reading, say, a psalm, and it says, praise the Lord, what should you always do? Pause, Selah, and praise the Lord. It's not just a suggestion, it's a commandment, praise God.
Yes.
And God's not just trying to get something through you, He's trying to get something to you. Praise God. Amen. Well, glory be to Jesus forevermore. I had somebody share with me, and I want to echo this because it is an important thing to say, is, you know, obviously we've had a couple of different issues this week with people that were either having apparent heart issues or definite heart issues and things like that. And what this teaches us a lot of times is that we need to be real careful to take care of the natural and the spiritual. How many of you know that? Amen? I mean, we believe in healing. We believe that God will raise you up and this and that, but that doesn't mean you'd ignore good dietary habits, exercise, and things like that, or the symptoms that can come up in people. I mean, the thing that happened with Brian, and this was, a very sobering thing, was some of the symptoms that he was having. You know, of course, you don't really know if it's necessarily your heart or not, but the doctor said, he said that if they would have waited just a couple of hours, he might not have been with us. So what that tells you, you know, just take care of things, be spirit-led in what you're doing. But I love what the doctor also went on to say, because doctors don't always say this. He said, it's the grace of God that you're still with us. Amen. And it's going to be the grace of God that he's going to be back with us on stage. Praise God. Amen. So good to see everybody this morning. And I want to let you guys know this before I forget. Usually, for those of you that are visiting or are new to our church, we always take up an offering for our special guest ministers when they come, but we generally do that at the end. So I wanted to go ahead and let you guys know that if you have on your heart to do so, and I believe the Lord will spur you on to do those kind of things, you can go ahead and be thinking about what the Lord might have you do as I get up and exhort us at the end. But I want to let you know a little bit about our guest minister today. He's been with us before. Praise God. It's been a little bit. And I want to give you a little bit of a background of how we got connected, because we don't just have anybody fill the pulpit here. You understand that? I've had people over the years say, why don't you have this person? Why don't you have that person? I got to know them because I'm responsible for what you are fed with. It's kind of like if you let your baby go stay with somebody, you're going to be very careful about who's feeding it, right? Amen? So it's something that we have a responsibility to do. But when I got saved right at the year of 2000. And right after I got born again, God blessed me with a job in a Christian bookstore. And it was a Baptist-based Christian bookstore, but thank God they had a real little charismatic section of books. And contained in this charismatic section, we had some books by a man named Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. And the Lord specifically led me to start reading this man's books. And I had a little bit of a background because my parents had kind of cut their teeth on that. I told people I was born and raised chewing Copeland Hagen, praise God. Ding! Amen. But the Lord drew me back to that, hallelujah, and I started reading a lot of Brother Hagen's books, and then, of course, from that, I started listening to some of his tapes. This is back before there were CDs, I think. I don't know. But I'm dating myself. But we started listening to him, and then we started going to a lot of Brother Hagen's meetings. And I don't know, how many of you had ever attended a Brother Kenneth E. Hagin meeting? Oh, my Lord, some awesome times, refreshing times in the presence of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord was awesome. But I noticed that when I went to a lot of these meetings, there was this young guy playing the piano up on stage who had a beautiful voice and sometimes would just break out singing in tongues and all this kind of stuff. And it was just awesome. And then I also come to find out that this young man also would preach some. And then in Athens, where I was born and raised, I found out that this man was coming to the church that I attended. And my pastor, being a very gracious person, allowed us to have some access to him. We got to know him. So this is how we got to know Reverend Marty Blackwelder and his lovely wife Lola and his two daughters. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you something about this man. And this is from a perspective of a preacher, because you guys don't always see this, because a lot of times your only exposure sometimes to ministers is what you have in the meeting. I'm going to tell you, this man right here lives exactly the way you will see him minister to you.
God bless you.
Today. And that is quite refreshing because not everybody, in fact, I would say most ministers, don't do that. So what you are going to feed on today spiritually is pure. I say, Brother Marty is a man with no guile. Hallelujah. And that's a good place to be, praise God. So without any further ado, I'm going to invite Marty to come on up, brother. Let's give
him a
hand.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, sir. I love you. Praise the Lord. If you're happy and you know it, shout amen.
Amen.
How many of you know the Lord is good? You know, it's amazing to me. And, I'd like to have my wife and kids stand. Honey, girls, this is my wife, Lola, my daughter, Aubrey and Madison. I don't always get to have them, you know, with me as we travel, so it's we're not too far from you up here in McDonough, so it's nice. Anyway, I've been here, you know, several times through the years, and we so appreciate you having us this morning, and it just amazes me how God can orchestrate a service from your initial confession to the songs they chose in worship to the continual exhortations. The things that kept coming out and coming up that are in direct harmony with the leading that I had this morning to share. You know, we've been here, like I said, several times, and you know I love to run around the building. I like to shout. I've run some pews. I was raised Southern Baptist, but I can get happy. Amen. But, you know, and we've experienced that together, but I just had a little bit of a different leading this morning, and I hope you won't be disappointed, but hey, what God wants is the right thing. So basically, you know, I had it in my spirit this morning, and thank you for the worship, ladies and gentlemen. Where I know he's out there somewhere back there. Right there, thank you so much. Awesome. But I had it in my spirit this morning just to encourage us as members of the body of Christ. You know, that's who we are, isn't it? We're the body of Christ. We're the church. We're the family of God. That means we're a very powerful and preserving and sustaining presence in the earth. In fact, the scripture tells us in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, in the latter part of the verse, it says, as He, Christ, is, so are we in this world. That means that we are fearless, we are unconquerable, we're immovable, we're victorious. Are you with me? And we are, as Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and 12, we are persuaded that He's able to keep all that we have placed in His hands safe and secure until the fullness of His appearing. And then, of course, I like Proverbs 10 and 25. The Bible says, the wicked are blown away by every stormy wind. But when a catastrophe comes, the lovers of God have a secure anchor. How many lovers of God do we have here? So this moment, you know, and this morning, as we're seeing so many things unfolding in this world, and there's more yet to unfold, but I want you to rest assured, you and I are safe in the arms of God. God said in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, He said, fear not, I'm with you. Be not dismayed. What does that mean? Don't lose courage, right? I'm your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Man, if that doesn't make you put your shoulders back with a sense of confidence, I don't know what will. And of course, you know, I've been here, as I said, many times through the years, or several times through the years, and one thing I know that you are a people of faith, I know you're a household of faith, and now's the time where the world needs the faith that you and I have and that you and I hold. So at the Holy Spirit's direction this morning, I just want to put you in remembrance of things that you know, you're so well taught. I can tell there's such a firm foundation here. So yeah, I'm not going to bring you truths you've never heard. But I want to put you in remembrance of things you know, and I want to encourage you to hold fast to those truths, and I want to encourage you to maintain now in these times a very strong sense of faith and confidence in God. Because quite frankly, we're going to need it. Are you with me? So Jesus, teaching on the subject of faith in Mark 11:22, you know these verses, he made this very simple statement. He said, "Have faith in God." The modern English translation says, "Take hold of God's faithfulness." The word faith in the New Testament is actually from the Old Testament concept trust. In the New Testament, it comes from the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And it means to put your trust in a person or thing. Quite naturally, one of the distinguishing factors of our religion, Christianity, from all the other religions of the world, is that our religion isn't based exclusively upon principle or methodology or code, although that is involved. But our religion is based upon a relationship with a living person, God Almighty, through His Son, Jesus Christ. So as a Christian, it isn't merely what we believe, although that is imperative. But as we've already proclaimed this morning, equally important is who we believe in. You know, sometimes our focus in life, our perspectives, our preoccupations can become misdirected because of all the negativity, the multiplicity of voices, the potential uncertainties that are unfolding in the world, and we can forget who we are, right? But I think equally important, whose we are. So your pastor's been teaching on the authority of the believer, and I believe it's important that we continually remind ourselves who we are as the body of Christ in the earth, our place, our position. But equally important, it's important that we remind ourselves to whom we belong. Woo! So Jesus said, have faith in God, trust Him. Quite naturally, it's impossible to have any strong degree of confidence or trust in a person that we do not know. That's why we say Bible knowledge is critical to faith, because it enfolds or unfolds a revelation of the one that we're trusting. So once again this morning, I just want to review with you some truths that you know. I want to review some aspects of God's person, His character, His nature, so that you and I can remember just who He is, what we mean to Him, and how passionately devoted He is to our well-being. I was just amazed at the confession, as I said, the songs that we sang, the rainbow, the colors, all of these things will be encompassed in our word to you this morning. You know, in theology, we refer to God's omnipotence, that He is all-powerful. We speak about the fact that He's omniscient or all-knowing. We say He's omnipresent everywhere at all times. And although all of these adjectives are characteristic of His person, I think it's vitally important that you and I realize and remember that in relation to you and to me as believers, God at the core of His being is a Father. And He loves His children very much. What qualifies someone to become a child of God? Aren't you glad the Bible tells us? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, what does it say? Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. How many of you believe Jesus is the Christ? Congratulations. The Bible says you're born of God, and to be born of someone means that you're brought forth in their nature and their likeness. You can see that with your own children. When you have children, they're brought forth with certain physical characteristics, personality traits. They're brought forth in your nature and likeness. The same reality holds true for every child of God. If you're born of God, you've been brought forth in His nature and His likeness. That's why the Scripture says in 1 John 4, 4, and I'm going to let the Word speak for itself this morning. You are of God, little children, and you've overcome the agents of the Antichrist, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in this world. You are what? You're of God. You are of righteousness. You are of peace, joy, strength, wisdom, life, light. We are of God. And 1 John 5 and verse 4 says, whatever is born of God overcomes this world. So you and I have been born of Him, and that has qualified us to become children of God. And as children, we've been given the rights of sonship. Galatians 4, 6, and 7 says, because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, we're no longer slaves, but sons. And if sons, then heirs of God through Christ. Turn to your neighbor and say, congratulations. You're an heir of God. Woo! I don't think sometimes people understand the depth of love and devotion that the Father has for His children. If you've read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we'll look there, verse 16 and verse 18, I want you to notice the passion with which this is conveyed, so to speak, in the latter part of that verse. That God said, I will dwell in them. I will what? Walk among them. I'll be their God. They will be my people. I will be a father unto you. And you will be my sons and my daughters, saith the Almighty. God wasn't satisfied living in Moses' tabernacle. He wasn't content residing in Solomon's temple. He was looking for the day when He could take up residence in the hearts of His own sons and daughters. And you and I have become the very dwelling place of God. Guys, listen. This is the God that you and I are in relationship with. He isn't some austere or remote entity. He isn't, as some refer to Him, merely the great mind of the cosmos. He certainly is. But the One who has vested us with the authority of heaven as ambassadors in the earth, the God that we are in relationship with, He is our Father. And He loves us with an everlasting love. Can you say amen? Amen. Everybody say, God is my Father. God is my Father. And He loves me. You know, as a child, you instinctively trust your parents when you're small. Unless, of course, through time, they prove themselves to be untrustworthy. But it is the nature of a child to trust their parent. And the same reality holds true with every child of God. It is the nature of a new creation believer to trust in their Heavenly Father. But did you know that understanding who He is and the relationship that we share with Him and the position He holds, and the power He possesses, all of these things, having knowledge of those things, formulate a more solid foundation from which our trust can be founded. Are you with me? And so, I just want to look at who He is. We talked about it as we started the service. But now in these times, guys, we've got to have a strong sense of confidence. We've got to know who's backing us up. We've got to know to whom we belong. So I want you to look at His position. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, gives us a very vivid glimpse into the power and the position that our Heavenly Father occupies. I'm going to read it to you out of the Passion Translation. Are you with me this morning? Listen, this is the Apostle John, of course, seeing into the realm of the Spirit. He said, suddenly, after I wrote down these messages, I saw a heavenly portal open before me, and the same trumpet voice that I heard speaking with me at the beginning broke the silence and said, ascend into this realm. I want to reveal to you what must happen after this. Instantly, I was taken into the spirit realm, and behold, I saw a heavenly throne set in place and someone seated upon it. His appearance was sparkling like crystal and glowing like a carnelian gemstone. Surrounding the throne was a circle of green light like an emerald rainbow. Encircling the great throne were 24 thrones with elders in glistening white garments seated upon them, each wearing a golden crown of victory. And pulsing from the throne were blinding flashes of lightning, crashes of thunder and voices. And burning before the throne are seven blazing torches which represent the seven spirits of God. And in front of the throne there was a pavement like a crystal sea of glass. Around the throne, on each side of the throne, stood four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature resembled a lion, the second an ox, the third had a human face, and the fourth was like an eagle in flight. Each of the four living creatures had six wings, full of eyes all around and under their wings. Guys, heaven is going to blow your mind. There are things there you and I have never seen or conceived of. They worshiped without ceasing, day and night, singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the was, the is, the coming. And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to the one who's enthroned and lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell face downward before the one seated on the throne, and they worshiped the one who lives forever and ever. And they surrendered their crowns before the throne, singing, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you've created all things, and by your plan, they were created and exist. Wow! Heaven is a real place. God's throne is there. He's seated upon it. He's absolute in His power, in His position, in His dominion. And I'm not talking about Star Wars. I'm talking about reality. The psalmist said in Psalm 103 and 19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over what? Overall. All means all. There's none above Him. There's none beside Him. There's none before Him. He alone is God. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 86 and verse 10, you are the one and the only God. What miracles, what wonders, what greatness belong to you. Are you listening? Oh, but Brother Marty, what about all the ungodliness, the violence, the moral decadence that is arising in our nation, in our world, the utter disregard for God, for Christ, for His moral code, for His realm and His reign? What about that? Don't you worry your pretty little head about it. Because God Almighty sits on His throne. And He is, and I use this word specifically, in ultimate control. It's very important in these times that we keep the proper perspective. Notice in Psalm chapter 2, 1 through 4. We'll also read verses 10 through 12. I told you I'm just letting the word speak. Is that okay? Notice, how dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit as the rulers scheme and confer together against Yahweh and His anointed King, saying, let's come together. Let's break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains of God and His Christ. God enthroned merely laughs at them. The Sovereign One mocks their madness. Verse 10, listen to me, all you rebel kings and upstart judges of the earth. Learn your lesson while there's still time. Serve and worship the awe-inspiring God. Recognize His greatness and bow before Him, trembling in reverence in His presence. Fall face downward and kiss the Son before His anger is roused against you. We're in the dispensation of grace, but at some point that's going to come to an end. Remember that His wrath can be quickly kindled, but, woo, everybody thank God for the but many blessings are waiting for all who will turn aside to hide themselves in Him. That's you and me. All I know is now is the time to make sure you're on the right team. How many is on the God team? The Jesus team. This morning I'm talking about putting our trust in God by understanding the relationship we share, the position that He occupies, the power that He holds, the dominion that He exercises and carries. And something that is additionally comforting to me as an itinerant minister, and it should be to you, is that our Heavenly Father has unlimited resources. Aren't you glad? You know, so many are concerned about the economy, no matter what the economy may unfold, or the housing market or the stock market. Aren't you glad we serve a God of abundance? How do you know, Brother Marty? Well, He said, I'll make rivers in the desert, pools of water in dry places. Psalm 24 in verse 1, notice, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. One translation says, the earth belongs to the Eternal One and all that the earth holds. That's our Father. That's the one we're trusting. I like Psalm 50 verses 10 through 12. It's kind of comical. God is speaking through Asaph prophetically, and notice what he says. Every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field, they're mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. Why? Because the world is mine and all of its fullness. He goes on to say in Haggai 2:8, the silver's mine, the gold is mine. Sometimes everybody thinks the devil's crowd owns it. But guys, it all belongs to our Heavenly Father. And guess what? In my house, I'm the sole provider. And of course, I recognize He's my provider. But I'm the sole income, the sole provider. We have a house, we have cars, we have clothes, we, you know, have these different provisions. But guess what? Even though I'm the sole provider, my wife, my mother-in-law, my two daughters, the dog, they eat it, wear it, drive it, live in it. Why? Because they're co-sharing or co-sharers of the household, right? What belongs to daddy belongs to the family. And the same reality holds true. What belongs to our Father belongs to us. We're joint heirs. Woo! That ought to make you get a little happy. Don't worry about it. You're going to be all right. Everyone say, my Father is the supreme ruler of this universe. His throne is in heaven. He has all power, dominion, authority, ability, and unlimited resources. Now here goes our repeating of elementary principles. But you'd be amazed how confused some Christians are on these issues. And these are the components of His nature and His character. The one we're trusting this morning, our Heavenly Father, how many of you know He is good? Once again, I grew up in a particular denomination. They didn't know God was good in His essence. They gave God the credit for the good, bad, and the ugly. He was just the author of it all. But how do you know God is good? Because His Word declares it. Psalm 34 and verse 8, notice, oh, taste and see. The Lord is what? He's good. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the woman that trusts in Him. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold in the time or the day of trouble. Notice He's not the cause of our trouble, particularly as a New Testament believer, which we'll see. He is the stronghold in the time of trouble, and He knows them that put their trust in Him. Now look at the New Testament verification of that. James 1, 16 and 17, He said, do not be deceived. King James says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make an error in your judgment of God and His character and His works. Right? Verse 17, He clarifies, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So God is good. It is imperative to our life of faith, to our sense of confidence now in these times, that we know and we have that mindset and mentality, my Father is good, and He does good. He is without fault. He's without blame. He's never the problem. He's always the answer. He's not the poison. He's the antidote. We understand in this life we're going to encounter challenges because we live in a world that is in a state of degeneration. It has the presence of Satan, sin, human will, and volition. We understand that. But for you and I, God is good and He does good. But Brother Marty, there have been times in my life along my journey personally, my associates, my family members, and I've experienced it as well, where maybe things didn't turn out like we'd anticipated, attempted to believe and prayed for, and maybe it just didn't turn out that way. And you know, that's the moment that you step back on your foundation. And you realize, as Paul said, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. He said, look, presently, you and I are seeing through, one translation says, a glass darkly or a mirror dimly. What does that mean? At this moment, our vision is somewhat obscured. We don't see every variable of every situation. We don't know the history that led up, what may follow after, all the components of a situation, but He does. And so sometimes you've got to lean back on Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. That's not a cop-out. It's just realizing that, look, I don't always have all the answers. And when I don't, I'm just going to put it on the shelf, and I'm going to step back on this foundation, and I'm going to say, well, one thing I know, I don't understand it, Father, but one thing I do know, I know You're good. I know You do good. I know if You could have, You would have, so I'm just going to leave it there, right? And one day I'll understand it all, but I know You're good. Everybody say, God's good. Amen all the time. A second component of his character, the one that we're trusting, enabling us to have a strong sense of confidence now in these times, is God is, and he emphasized it, merciful. God is merciful. How many of you know what mercy is? Mercy is love above what justice demands. Love above what justice demands. Thank God none of us got or get what we deserve. Hallelujah. How do you know he's merciful? Because the Bible tells us so, and we've experienced his mercy. Psalm 86 and verse 5, notice, you, O Lord, you're good, yes. Now watch his posture, and ready to forgive, abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. Don't you love that? He is ready to forgive. Well, I've messed up so many times, I just don't know if God will forgive me. He's ready to forgive. That's his posture, because he's merciful. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us. Do you know what that means actually in the Hebrew? Finding fault. God doesn't treat us like we treat each other. Thank God. Nitpicking our faults, pointing out our inadequacies. He hasn't dealt with us according to our sins or punished us according to our iniquities as high as the heaven is above the earth. And that's a long way. So far has he removed our transgressions from us so great is his mercy toward those that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Isn't it wonderful to know that? That for all of you and I who have received the grace of God and the salvation of Jesus Christ, that God has purged our sins and will not remember our iniquities? How do you know? Isaiah 43, 25. I know it's old covenant, but it was fulfilled through the blood of Jesus. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins because they're under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is God's desire for everyone on this planet, that you and I, and particularly now, we get the word out. This message of reconciliation, of the mercy of God. 2 Corinthians 5:19, you know it. The Bible says God was personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself. Now watch this. Not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. And has given us the ministry, the message, the word of reconciliation. And guys, we've got to get the word out. And the word is, God loves you. He sent his son to die for you as the sacrificial lamb of God. He is merciful. He has forgiven your sins if you will receive the sacrifice. You know, the Lord speaks to me many times in what we would call psalms, hymns, you know, spiritual songs, prophetic utterances. Sometimes they're in public settings, sometimes they're in private settings, you know, in prayer time. But thinking about this message that we need to get out, the word of the Lord came to me. It was in a public setting. I don't remember exactly where it was, but it is in the not too distant past. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, the door that now stands open will soon begin to close. With swiftness and acceleration, this final season goes. And yet there is a remnant that still must enter in. And once they've taken their place in the kingdom, then the time of sorrows will begin. So listen carefully to the Spirit, for he speaks of things to come. and let your hearts be strengthened, and let the Father's will be done by being mindful of His presence in every step that you take, and by staying filled with the Spirit, an impact in the lives of many you will make. And His presence will overtake you. And God's glory men will see. And Jesus will be glorified in you and in me. Can you say amen? So the time is short. We've got a job to do, and we need to do it fervently. We need to let the world know God is good, God is merciful. I got two more and they're short. Here's the third one. God is, and we emphasize this one also, God is faithful. Everybody say faithful. What does that mean? We can trust Him. We can depend upon Him. He is trustworthy. How do you know? Because the Bible tells us so. And we've experienced it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. Notice God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's another scripture, letting the Word speak. 2 Thessalonians 3:3. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. This is a very essential and evident component of God's character and His nature. He is faithful. And then finally this morning, God is steadfast and unchanging. Now, how important is it that we understand that? Because people are moody. I mean, some folks, you never know what you're going to get from one day to the next. One day they're happy, the next day they're down. One day they're friendly, the next day they're not speaking. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad God doesn't vacillate in His person? How do you know? We've already read it, James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So James is speaking about the Father of lights, the day of creation, when He set the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations in their place. And he said, you know what? The sun may rise, the sun may set, the constellations may shift. But I want you to know, in God, in His person, in His power, in His dominion, He never rises or sets. He's always the same. Is it Malachi 3 and 6 where it says, I'm the Lord, I change not. Right? He's constant. He's steadfast. He's unchanging. You're not going to come in there one day and say, Father. And He said, too many people calling on me today. I don't have time. Thank God. He's there. He's listening. He's aware. He's ready. Right? No vacillation. Now in these times, friends, we have to, as a child of God, not only walk in our authority as a believer, but we have to have a very strong sense of faith and confidence in God, the one who has once again vested us with the authority of heaven. Who is He? He's your Father. He's the supreme ruler of this universe. He has absolute power, dominion, authority. He has unlimited ability. He has unlimited resources. He is good. He is merciful. He is faithful. And He is unchanging. That is the one in whom our faith rests. So when you walk out these doors today, once again, put your shoulders back. Stand up on the inside. No more cowering. What are we going to do? Everything's getting so bad. That's not you. You're in the world. We're not of it. We're set apart. We're in a different kingdom. We carry a different authority. You're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. When you get up in the morning, look in the mirror and say, like Smith did, God lives in that man. God lives in that woman. Woo! Amen. Come on, everybody, stand up this morning. Stand up. I know it's short and sweet, but friends, that was in my spirit today. I want you to lift your hands, and let's just wait on the Lord for just a moment, please. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. We worship you. Bring it up just a little bit, just to feel not much. Father, we're here this morning. We're your children. We're your family. You're our God. You're our Father, and we acknowledge you. And we're so thankful for the confidence and the love and the care and the oversight that you give us. We don't have to get up in the morning with a sense of hopelessness because we know the one to whom we belong. And it causes us to rise up and to stand firm. You know, once again, as we wait here, it's stirring in my spirit. The word of the Lord came to me. Once again, in the not too distant past, and I know he'll bring it up again, but thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Just wait on him just a moment because it's coming up in my spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Things are not always as they seem, saith the Lord. You must learn to look beyond the immediate and the temporal to the eternal. Because these are the things that will remain. This earth in its current state is temporal. And all that facilitates its current operation will one day cease. But the rule and the reign of Christ will ensue. So many are troubled in heart by the recent events that are unfolding in the world. And yet, do you not see? Do you not recognize that and realize, saith the Lord, that all things are working together for the ultimate consummation of my eternal plan and purpose? No man, no government, no king or prince or evil entity or force of darkness will subvert my eternal plan. So rest assured, in the midst of seeming chaos and darkness and confusion, the light is still shining brightly and is overcoming the darkness at every hand. So stand strong. Stand confidently. Do not cower in fear and timidity, but walk in the peace and the authority that belong to you, and boldly declare, all is well. All is well with me. All is well with my household. All is well with the body of Christ. For as it has been spoken and written by the sovereign and the eternal King, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So rejoice. Let your heart be filled with hope, with confidence, with assurance, for all is well, saith the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. How many of you believe it? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Woo-hoo. Turn to your neighbor, say, all is well. And you know it is. Jesus is coming soon. And I know things are going to wind up in the world, but they're winding up in the church too. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Hey, next time I come, we'll run around the building. All right, Pastor.
Praise God. Please remain on your feet. Hallelujah. Come on up, Judy. You know, I was reminded as Brother Marty was exhorting us there at the end of what I believe is a beautiful picture that encapsulates what Marty was ministering to us, what the Holy Spirit led him to. And it's this. You know, we're blessed today to have a clear sky outside, and we're able to see the sun. But how many of you know we have certain days where the cloud cover just seemingly hides the sun? But do we go around saying during that time, well, I guess God flipped the switch and turned the sun off? No. We realize the sun is always shining. In fact, there's no variation, right? The only thing that's changing is the earth. Amen? And so we need to be reminded through that the Lord is always good. His light is always shining, and our confidence can be in this, even when there might be some rain, even when there might be some winds, even when there might be some storms that are going on around us, whether that's something that's happening globally to all of us or maybe a personal trial some of us are going through. But I believe this is when the Lord would exhort us, as he did the Apostle John in Revelation, and he said, John, boy, come up hither. Get above the clouds where I'm seated on my throne, where I am unchanging, and see things from my perspective. You know, right now, just being a few steps up, I see things from a completely different perspective than some of y'all. What if we got up on the plane that God's on? Boy, you can see some stuff. And that's when you can see with God that no matter what his enemies are doing, he just laughs at them, he just mocks at them, and just says, man, don't worry about them, John boy. I got this. Because he's bigger, because he's better, and because he has a plan. Amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful for a clear, crystal clear word this morning. That's what I kept thinking of you got to be pretty dumb to miss that. Sorry, because it's just there. And it's so clear and it's so nourishing. God is good to us. So thank you, Brother Marty. Thank you guys for your time today. And we always, as High Point Church endeavors to do, be a blessing to our guest ministers as they come. Of course, the church does something for them financially, but we like to give you guys an opportunity to join in with that. And for those of you that have never maybe been with us before, you notice we don't take up a formal offering here. We don't pass the bucket. But we have these boxes located on the back wall where people just basically drop their tithes and offerings. So if you have on your heart a desire to be a blessing because the Word of God ministered to you today, as 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11, I believe it is, says, those that sow into you spiritual things, you're supposed to sow into them your natural things. Amen? And this is a wonderful opportunity for you to do that. So if the Lord moves on your heart to do so, you can basically make a check to High Point Church or put some cash in there. Make sure you put it in an envelope. Make sure you notate it. It's for the guest speaker, Marty, some way so that we know where that goes, and put it in one of the boxes in the back. Let's be a blessing Because High Point Church is a blessing. Praise God. Amen. Well, I trust that the Lord did speak to you. And for those of you that are visiting with us today, know this, High Point Church has a lot of other things that are available to you. We're not just a church that's just open on Sunday mornings. I know a lot of churches are going to that today, to where you basically just have that, essentially. But we have an awesome Wednesday night Bible study that Donna is teaching right now at 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. We also have healing school. If you need healing in your body, on Thursday mornings at 10:30, I'll be teaching this week. The women are going to be having a breakfast together this coming Saturday at 9 a.m. You ladies, you usually get notified by Shannon of that. And then we've got an awesome youth rafting trip that's going on next Saturday. And we still got spots available for that. So any of you guys that maybe, you know, want to take a chance, praise God, and go down those waters with them, praise God, it's available for you. And we have a security training coming up at the church to where we're going to be educating people on how to make sure your churches are safe. So some of you that are visiting, you might have a pastor that would basically want, in a situation like that, to come and learn more about security for their church. And pass that word along. We've got something out on Facebook for that. So praise God. Let's lift our hands, close our eyes, and let's give God glory today. Father, thank you today for a crystal clear word from God and for speaking to us today to know that, God, you got a plan. You're in ultimate charge. And while we have the authority to enforce your will and push back against the kingdom of darkness, I thank you today that our confidence rests in you. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm just so amazed, and I know not everybody here might see this, but I'm just so amazed at how you orchestrate things in our services, that there's been no collaboration of what Marty was preaching versus what we were singing, what blessing we did. Lord, you were the one that collaborated it. And we give you the glory for it today, because you know who's going to be here and what we need. We bless you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.